everybody. Welcome to Come Get Your Podcast, Episode 2. This is your host, Adam, jumping in before the actual show begins because I wanted something to say. I appreciate all the feedback we've gotten from the first episode. We're going to keep trying to make it better, so please keep giving us feedback. And also, if you want to be have a question featured on the podcast, please tweet at us or ask us a question on Facebook. Both are at CGY Podcast. It's something we all want to start doing, get you guys involved, and maybe we can have some fun with it too. So please enjoy the episode, and I will talk to you guys later. Love you, bye. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hey.
It's another Come Get Your Podcast episode we have here.
Episode two.
Or is it three?
It's two. Oh, no, we're not doing this. This is episode two.
Yeah.
There's a lost episode, technically, but that's all I'm going to expound fun on that. Oh, you know, I'm dropping my phone. Shit.
It was practice episode.
It was.
Practice?
Talk about I'm Chris.
Anyway. Yeah.
I'm Dustin.
And I'm Adam. And we're recording 2 weeks in a row.
It's turned into a habit.
It's true. Originally, we set out we wanted to do every other week. And we still might do that on when they come out, but we can at least have another conversation this week on a lovely Mother's Day morning.
Definitely.
It is.
A little early. It's a little early, but...
Looking outside, there's blue sky. It's good feelings.
Is it Mr. Blue Sky?
Is it smiling at you?
Yeah, is there a sun from Teletubbies out there?
If there's a sun...
All right, when...
If there's a sun from Teletubbies out there, I'm signing up the podcast and heading for some bunker somewhere, because that's terrifying.
I woke up about 45 minutes ago and was just kind of in the process of waking up, and all of a sudden my phone, you know, vibrates, and I look at it, and I have a gif of was that Nick Cage?
Yes.
As the Teletubby son?
It was.
Yes,
it was.
And if that doesn't wake you up, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
You're welcome. It's an art form to find the right GIF, you know.
It is an art form,
and you know what? It's an art form that Adam has perfected.
I wasn't gonna toot my own horn too much, man. But I know how to find GIFs, and if I could market that somehow,
yes,
I'd be rich.
Yeah, holla at your boy if you need a GIF.
When people talk of perfect GIF sending, I always boast your abilities, even when you're not around.
Like, oh,
so and so sends great gifts. Yeah, you haven't seen anything until Adam sends you a gift out of nowhere, and it is the perfect one for whatever situation you're in.
I
was gonna say, I can imagine Dustin being like, oh, I realize this is amateur hour over here, but
oh, yeah.
I'm known for three things. Okay, one, having my name be Adam. Two, running really well in the King's Fall raid. And three is finding the perfect gift.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started on the King's Fall raid running. Holy shit.
So it's like, unfortunately, like I said, it's not marketable yet. But get at me.
Your running of the King's Fall raid might actually be more known for that than your first name being Adam. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there.
In certain circles.
Yes, for that, definitely, for sure.
Well, it's only because that his name is totally not Adam, so they're not sure.
You know what? I forgot about that. That
Adam
is true. So it's like a Rubik's cube of people figuring out that puzzle.
It is embarrassing how much I laughed at myself when I made that PSN name.
I like it.
Anyway, let's get into some things. Yeah. How are you guys' weeks?
Yeah, man. You know, it's a busy one, but it's slimming down nicely at the end.
Yeah.
Do we play any games this week?
Oh boy, did we.
Let me tell you about this Varian Nova combo that me and Dustin have been playing in Heroes of the Storm.
Heroes of the Storm?
You got nothing.
The MOBA?
You got
the
nothing.
MOBA that I'm not very good at, but I found one character I really like somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I played Heroes a long time ago, like about 2 years ago, about when it first came out, I think. me and my good friend Gary played a lot, and I hadn't played it since then. And then they did this Nexus 2.0 challenge. And if you guys don't know what that is, that's, you know, they introduced new heroes, and they kind of mixed Overwatch with it. So if you played five games, you got Genji. Is it Genji as a playable character?
Genji is a playable character that you could purchase. But
you just got skins. Okay.
Yeah, mainly there are skins that you could get unlocking Overwatch by playing Heroes of the Storm. And really, that's all I knew, and that's all I wanted. So that is literally the only reason I've been playing Heroes of the Storm for the past couple of weeks, was for a Genji skin and a D.Va skin.
And to be fair, which make
no difference to me.
Yeah.
To be fair, it's the same reason why I started to play as well. I was like, you know what? I'll go in there and play five matches. It's not a big deal. What I didn't anticipate was realizing how fun it was again, and with a lot of new characters since I last played, and a lot of them are fun. Like, there is, well, Varian's fun, but I'll let Dustin get into that more because he plays him. But then there's this like mage character, I don't even remember her name, but I played with her once, and it was like,
it's like Li Ming.
Yeah, it's like Li Ming, and it was over. I don't even really know what I was doing, but I was doing it well.
You just described MOBAs perfectly. I don't know what I was doing, but I was doing very well.
Oh, that's accurate.
That's it.
Here's my experience with MOBAs. One time, like 6 years ago, I went and visited a buddy of mine in college, and he picked me up from a restaurant we were meeting at, and then we went to his house, and we walked in, and I was meeting his roommates, and there were like eight other dudes living in that house, and he introduced me to, I believe his name is Dave. He's like, this is my friend Dave. And Dave looks over at me, he's like, hey man, nice to meet you, and shakes my hand, and then he's like, hey, I gotta go to the bathroom, sit down here and play League of Legends for me. And it was a comp game. I have no idea what I'm doing. I've never touched a MOBA before, and I was just, okay. And for the 3 minutes I played, I didn't die. I'll give myself credit there. But I was yelled at a lot by the people he was playing with.
Well, such is any online game for the most part.
Well, that's true. And Heroes, I've noticed, because Adam and I are very similar, where we both don't really like MOBAs very much. Like, I'm not good at them at all. I do like that Heroes is a little different than most, in the fact that you upgrade certain abilities opposed to buying items like you do in League of Legends. And as your team does better, the whole team does better. So it's not like, you know, I suck at MOBA, so if I'm on the bottom lane and I'm just getting decimated and I'm just feeding the other team levels, like that the other team's hero levels, like eventually I just get overrun. But in Heroes, if I'm having a rough time on the bottom, either Adam or Chris could be mid or top or also on the bottom and doing very well. And it just keeps upgrading my character so that I get better and better and better. And we kind of can even it out a bit more. So
I might be able to speak for Dustin on this point, when it's like the learning curve really is when to retreat when you're fighting stuff.
Yes, very much so.
You want to kill the other heroes, but they're retreating back into their base. And you're like, no, I can get one more shot. Well, if it's early enough, those towers hurt a lot. Yes. And yeah, it's just learning when to go in, when to attack, when to get like mercenary camps and the like. But it's fun, you know. And it follows a standard Blizzard game. You know how they do games is that it's easy to play. It really is, but it's difficult to master.
I will say it is easy to play and pick up for somebody who hasn't played anything like that in 6 years. It was pretty easy to just jump in and figure it out. Especially the first week was the challenge for a Genji skin in Overwatch. You just had to play five games against bots, so you learn there essentially, and they could be any difficulty. So I mean, I started on lower difficulty and eventually you work my way up to a slightly more standard difficulty, but that's fine. And then last week's challenge was against actual players for a D.Va skin. She'd be a little cop whose big mech does wee wee sounds when you fly. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
No. Well, that's worth it then.
Pretty much right there. That makes it totally worth it. That being said, this week there's the last challenge, and I think it's just for sprays and stuff in Overwatch and a couple vanity items and heroes, but I have no interest in it, so I don't think I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, I don't have interest in the sprays. I feel like I'll keep playing Heroes of the Storm regardless of what it brings to Overwatch, just because I have been enjoying it. I like that it's unlike any other MOBAs, where rather than you're just pushing a lane, taking out towers to eventually destroy their home base, there's other aspects to the game where it's like Overwatch, where you have to defend a payload, or you have to go get certain towers. Like, there's different ways to play. Like, it's not all like you don't just push the lanes constantly, which I do like, but I don't think it's going to be something I play religiously. It'll be something like Chris and myself are on, and like Ben jumps online and it's like, hey, you want to play some Heroes? Yeah, sure. You know, something like that. It's not going to be something like Battlegrounds. It's not going to be like Overwatch, Destiny, things like that, where I know I'm going to be playing them a lot more. And I'm like just going to be specifically trying to play those. But it's just going to be like an intermittent, hey, I'll just play some Heroes real quick.
I will say, I'm not going to uninstall the game.
Yeah.
I don't know how often I'm going to play it. You guys will probably play it a little more often than I will, but I'm not going to uninstall it because every once in a while it'll be nice to just jump on with you guys and shoot the shit while getting destroyed by bots or people or whatever.
It's a fun break from the norm, because most of the games that we do play are, you know, your FPS-esque games, and it's a good break, you know? And it's fun. Like Dustin said, it's right now it's a good time, but the last time I played, I got bored of it at some point, I assume. So it could happen.
Probably.
And it's free to play. So
that is nice.
If anybody has a Battle.net account, you can just download it and try it out. And they constantly cycle out the heroes that you can try, you know, and play with. So it's just real fun to kind of just pick up. Now, granted, I think I was talking to you guys about this yesterday. I have not played against live people. I've been only playing against bots, so that might actually be the main reason why I think it's fun right now. So I don't know if I would just get really annoyed at the game if I start playing against people. But
when the challenge was for the Divas game to play five games against people, we went 2-3 over those five games. One of them was actually really close, those losses. So yeah. I didn't mind losing that one. The other two losses, I didn't really care, mainly because I was just there for the skin, it's not a game I'm going to play religiously, so I don't care what my record is.
I'm just passing through. Passing through for my Overwatch.
However, there weren't what's the word I'm looking for here? The other people who were playing it weren't either on my team or the other team weren't to the level that the League of Legends community is infamously known for.
Sure,
No one was like yelling at me. We had one person who was a little iffy, but I think more than anything, we were the ones that were like, "Hey, man, come help us."
Well, I think that was the match that we lost, but it was really close because we were getting our asses kicked. We really were at first.
Oh yeah, and then halfway through the game, he's like, "GG," and he just left. And then we actually ended up coming back and almost winning, but.
typical MOBA player right there.
Yeah, but that was really the only thing out of the five games I played that day, and I played a couple other games against random people.
I think you should try it though, Dustin, because some of your if not most of your frustrations and Heroes I think is the AI players that you have on your team.
Oh my god.
So
why is it when we play a match and we set the difficulty at Adept, so they're not supposed to be stupid. The opposing team's AI is playing like they should, and ours, you know, are just a complete idiots. They go the wrong way. They don't attack certain points that they're supposed to. That's the objective of the game. They're like, no, let's go take this mercenary camp. And you're like, no. What are you doing?
So like, I have a theory where, because that is true. Dustin and I played a game where our AI teammates literally just left one entire section of the map alone. And the other team overloaded that same area. So Dustin and I, as new players, had no idea what was going on. Got our asses kicked.
Yeah.
By computers.
Thoroughly. It was a lot of fun.
My theory is, though, I think if you give directions, is this holding any weight, Chris? Like, if you give directions, they'll generally follow those.
Yeah, you could ping. You could ping where you want to go or where you want to defend or attack the goal. What we also learned, and I forgot, is that if you ping a player, an AI player, they will follow you.
Okay, see, and as new players, I mean, I still don't know how to do it. I don't even know what a Nexus is. and that's the whole name of everything that's going on. So, I mean, I think that's why they weren't doing anything, but still, they should know. I don't have to tell them everything.
I mean, there was one game me and Dustin played, and it was me, Dustin, Ben, and played, but it was a bug, obviously, but our Diablo player just kept going in and out of the base over and over, and he was, like, stuck in that motion. It's like, what are you doing?
AI, right?
Yeah.
And I think at one point I was like, what the fuck is Diablo doing right now? He's getting me killed. And Chris was just like, I think he's bugged. He's just going back and forth in between the out on the map and then back into the base. And I was like, yeah, this asshole just like left me by myself.
my favorite and frustrating part about the AI is how they'll run back to the base. They're almost there. And then they're like, nah, I'm just going to harass instead. It's like,
yeah,
but you're right there.
Yeah, right outside of it.
You're right there. What are you doing?
Okay, cool. I mean, it's so
get better AI.
Also, like, how about this? So we generally play on bots on Adept. What's the next difficulty up?
There's Veteran, and for some reason, that level difference between Adept and Veteran is, for us at least, we might just suck. I feel it's really hard. I mean,
we probably
I'm going to tell you right now, we suck.
Yeah, I think we could take Veteran eventually, but I think we do suck. But at the same time, it is a completely different game from Adept to Veteran. It's insane.
See, if you start beating Veteran, though, it'll give you the like non-existent security blanket that you think you need to like play against real people, and then you get kicked at, your ass is kicked even harder. Yeah.
Once this Nexus 2.0 thing and all these free Overwatch things go away, and then I'm like, yeah, I can play a real guy, and then all these Overwatch players are gone. Yeah. Just getting my ass handed to me.
Well, while you guys were playing that this week, I was playing Dark Souls 3 again.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you.
How's that going?
Really well. Yeah. I'm kind of cheating because I have a guide next to me. So there are several quest lines with NPCs in Dark Souls 3 that the fail states for those can be triggered early and easily. And I wanted to get the quote-unquote perfect ending. And even with a guide next to me and glancing at it every once in a while to make sure I was still on track, I still messed up and I can't get the perfect ending because an NPC died.
Thanks, Dark Souls. What's considered the perfect ending?
The perfect ending is called, I forget the actual title of the ending, but basically when you reach the end of the game, you have done several things so that your character is completely hollowed out. And hollowing out in Dark Souls basically means you're becoming a zombie, more or less. There is not enough time for me to start going into how hollowing and what undead means in Dark Souls, because it's real convoluted.
Sure.
But you completely hollow out and collect these certain items by doing so, and you need, I think, 8 of them total throughout the entire game, which you can get half of them by keeping this one NPC alive, which is what I failed to do. And you reach the end of the game, and essentially what happens is you beat the final boss, and then you restart the world in time.
Okay, but then you keep all your...
And I know I'm being vague here, and it's partially because I don't want to spoil anything in case somebody wants to play it, and it's also, I have no idea what the hell's actually going on. I'm just there to hit the peoples.
Right.
And beat the bosses.
I'm following the guide, and...
Yeah, and so basically it's just like a different cutscene, more or less, at the end of the game. So now I can get a couple different endings now. I'm just going to get the standard, quote-unquote, good guy ending.
Okay.
But I've actually really been enjoying it. I got further than I got the first time I tried playing it, because I fell off, probably because of either Destiny or The Division, I want to say. But I don't know. I'm enjoying it.
I remember watching you stream it when you were playing it the last time, and from a person that's never played a Dark Souls, I played Bloodborne is the closest, I think, and there's such a steep curve to playing those games, and it's enjoyable watching somebody who likes the game and knows how to play it, and then you see them trying to beat this boss, and I'm like, you're gonna die. That thing's like 8 times larger than you.
Yeah. That is the one thing you have to resign yourself to, is you're gonna die.
Yeah.
So it's trying to minimize your frustration when that inevitably happens.
Like the Dark Souls board game, like the first thing that you open it up, and it's a thing that just says you died.
Yes, it is. I want to get that game, by the way, because I watched a couple different reviews for it, and it looks like a lot of fun. Except it's like $150, and no, I'll wait.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if I need to spend that much.
Man, that's good marketing, because you know people are going to buy that thing.
Oh yeah, the Souls community is large and very, very self-loathing.
Yeah. They love to punish themselves.
Yeah.
They're into gaming, BDSD, or whatever it's called.
BDSM, yeah.
BDSM.
that's what I've been doing this week, and it's been a lot of fun. It's nice to play not that I don't enjoy playing games with you guys and our other friends, but it's always nice to have a nice single-player experience every once in a while, just to say it for yourself, and like, I'm not streaming it or anything, just because I just want to do it for me.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing with Horizon Zero Dawn right now.
Oh yeah, how's that been going?
It's fun. I haven't played it for a couple days, but it's a good change of pace. Like, I'm starting to get more powerful, but I still don't understand what weapons are better or what armor is technically better, because it's not like, at least to me anyway, and if anyone listening has played, could correct me on this, please do, because I could just be dumb. And I'm like, is that armor better? I can't tell, because you can modify the armor.
It doesn't give you like raw stats?
Not really. And it does, like, for the weapon, like, there's handling, but there's nothing that clearly to me says, like, this does more damage. But there are a bunch of different weapons, you know?
There's not a damage rating or an armor rating?
There's light armor, medium armor, heavy armor. So I'm assuming that heavier is the better armor-wise.
Based off of all of our previous gaming experience.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't right. know. I don't know if there's any disadvantage of going to a heavier one compared to a lighter one. Like, do I move slower?
Maybe you run slower or something.
Yeah, am I less stealthy? Yeah. You know,
I'm like, as soon as you say that, it's like you're going to be less agile. But yeah. I, other than that, like, I guess.
Well, Dark Souls, I mean, it's like if you're wearing heavier armor, you like your dodge roll is going to be either completely slowed down and you can't effectively get out of the way of stuff coming your way, or sometimes in other previous games from that series, like, you will walk and run slower. So maybe it's something like that, but yeah, I'm assuming heavy armor would have the best defense stats, but it might affect other things as well.
But it's going really well. I mean, it's gonna sound like it's not going well, but I'm like, it's one of those games that I only play for a little bit and then I can put down, because most games that I get into, at least single player wise, I will just play the fuck out of them. Mass Effect is the perfect example of this.
Yeah.
Well, I would just go to town on it. But this game, yeah. I'm not. You know, this game, I am taking my time on it. You know, playing it, and I'm like, it'll come to point, and I'm like, yeah, I'm done. I'm gonna log off, you know, for now. It's good. I can see why it has its reviews. It is a gorgeous game. And it does really well.
Did I hear Kitty?
Ooh, that's your fake cat in the background. Stop hitting your the soundboard.
Out of nowhere. I don't know what it's doing. Out of nowhere. Now it's just like moving around. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, being a cat.
Because you hit the button on your phone and it just played it. So just, you know, close the app.
Ongoing joke that I have a fake cat. Little does he know that it's real.
Quote, unquote,
as fuck. Joke. Real as fuck.
You sent me pictures, and I was just like, no, that's a towel on the back of the couch. I'm not, there's no way.
I can Photoshop your cat, man.
No, yeah. I can't. I have no Photoshop skills. I have none of that. My brother, on the other hand, as you guys know, does have.
That's a great point. In the past week, we've managed to get ourselves a fancy spanking new logo and banner.
Yeah, your brother rocked it, man. That was awesome.
Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it.
It looks good, though. I did enjoy it, you know. I think it fits us really well. I like that you and him had the same idea on what you, like, when you hear the name of our podcast, like, what came to your mind? I was like, I didn't think of that.
Like a newsy, old school, you know.
Yeah.
A newsy boy.
That's your newspaper, see ya?
A newspaper boy.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, he, you know, same wavelength there for sure, and he rocked it out. It looks great.
Yeah, it looks really awesome. I like it a lot.
So now that his ego is completely inflated.
it doesn't take much.
If you need to bring him down a peg or two, go for it.
Well, he's bad at most things that he does, so there you go.
All right, cool. Stay humble.
Yeah, I mean, I can neither confirm nor deny this, so.
I don't know. He's fine.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Also this week, what did we do last night?
Oh, yes.
We went to the movies.
Yeah.
Let's all go to the movie.
We saw Boss Baby. Go
movies. Fuck yeah, Boss Baby. Alec Baldwin.
Jack Donaghy as a baby.
No. We didn't see that garbage movie. It actually could be fine. I don't know.
It could be. I was like,
I saw a trailer.
I haven't heard anything about it.
I saw a trailer and I'm like, no.
Yeah, I was like, not for me.
But then again, I am not the target audience on that.
No. I will say, no. I don't know if this is a coincidence. Jesus, Adam. I don't know if it's a coincidence or not. Since the trailer for that came out and was shoved down everyone's eye holes, either via YouTube or just TV or in general, I have been watching 30 Rock.
Oh, I have again. Too. I have too.
I did so for a little
I don't
bit.
Know if that's they, a coincidence.
You
or
know
not,
what? But. You know what? They might be geniuses.
Could be.
Maybe geniuses?
Ooh.
Illuminati.
I'm going to go Google myself.
But yeah.
No.
But we saw.
Guardians Jinx. Of the Galaxy 2.
Oh.
I was like, are we going to do another joke?
Yeah, we saw Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and it was great.
It was awesome.
It was really good.
I don't want to get too far into it, obviously, because people should go see it for themselves.
For sure.
However.
It's just like similar to the first one. It doesn't take itself too seriously, and it rides that fine line of good action movie and an actual comic movie.
I'm going to slightly disagree with you.
Oh, well, then you can just... go to hell, I guess, you know?
This one took itself a little more seriously.
No, it did, absolutely. Compared to the first one, it really did.
This one felt like it took itself more seriously, but then also had more campy jokes. Like, it's definitely different than the first one.
Yeah, it's a completely different movie, which is why I like both of them a lot.
Exactly.
I'm not really comparing them.
Right. There are those cheesy, dramatic, intense moments that you know are coming. They do them very well, though. And then they still made sure to be like, hey, guys, this is a Guardians movie. You're gonna laugh at this.
Now I'm picturing before every Marvel movie, it does like the intro, like it used to be the comic books, fluttering by and then go to the Marvel logo. Now they have so much cinema content. They just take stuff from the other previous movies.
Yeah.
But you do that and then you just cut to black and you fade in and it's just Dustin sitting there in a chair that's backwards, but he's facing the camera. And he's just like, all right, guys, we're going to experience some emotions here today, but you're going to laugh. We're going to laugh. Maybe we'll cry.
So buckle up.
You're going to enjoy the movie.
Buckle up and get ready for some chuckles. Keep your tissues handy.
But going back to Guardians, though, as much as people love Baby Groot, don't get me wrong, Baby Groot's fantastic. Drax single-handedly took that movie.
Dave Bautista,
they
really let him go with this one, and it to very good, very good success, I would say.
Yeah.
He did fantastic. And everybody's character, they all kind of made them more central characters, which, to be fair, probably should have been the case this time anyway, because they weren't being introduced.
Yeah.
Everyone did well, but Dave Bautista especially.
It was a very nice from the first one. Yeah, you first meet Drax and he's very serious, the death of his, his wife and his kid. And he's, he's a very serious guy, and they go through this whole thing, and then you get to the second movie, and it's like, you can see where he's still serious, but he's, like, lightened up a bit, and he's just really into practical jokes.
Well, they said in the first one that his kind is, like, the most literal species in the universe.
Yeah.
And it really shows in this one. It really shows.
I mean, I loved everybody in this movie. I mean, I will say there are things that happen to Baby Groot that actually make me... like, they. I found myself getting angry and upset during the movie. I don't know why. I just was like, oh, man.
How dare you?
This is Baby making Groot's me a little great. Angry. Yeah, so you just need to see it. And maybe I'm just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, go see it. And they already confirmed that Guardians Volume 3 is greenlit, so we'll get that.
Yeah,
I think James Gunn already joked that he's already starting to write on it. So
yeah, I think so.
Which is fantastic.
All right. I have one thing I want to talk about that's not probably what you guys are expecting. Okay. But have either of you seen what our buddy Jeff tweeted at us?
Today?
No, not today.
No. What did he tweet at us?
Last Tuesday, I think. Have either of you played the great game, Beetle Adventure Racing, for Nintendo 64?
I have not. I did not own an N64.
Specifically, he said, at CGY Podcast, topic idea for the next one. Why Beetle Adventure Racing for N64 is the greatest game of all time.
Okay. Is this a joke, or is that literally the best game of all time?
I own a copy of it.
Okay.
It's pretty damn good.
It's better than GoldenEye for the N64?
See, that's where, you know...
Right?
We could argue all day. Well, not you. You didn't own the N64.
I forgot that this game existed.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a 90% on GameFAQs. Like, it's gotta be pretty freaking good.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's a lot of fun. As far as racing games go...
Just so you know where my head went when you said Beetle Adventure Racing, I literally pictured Beetles.
Oh, like Beetleborgs?
Yeah, and I'm like, wait, Cyborg Race? I don't remember this game.
Like the Volkswagen.
And then I'm looking at the cover of the game and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, Volkswagens.
Beetle Adventure Racing, released in 1999. Okay.
Well, if you haven't played it before, it's a great game, and I dare say we should play it. Because I have a 64 here, and I have at least three controllers, so...
I did not own an N64 when I was younger. I since now do have an N64. I'd have to check the box to see if I even own that game.
I know.
Mario Kart 64 is probably my favorite racing game, with Cruisin' USA also up there.
Or Cruisin'
World.
There we go.
Or San Francisco Rush, right? Was it, or just the Rush games?
I know what you're talking about. I never played those, but yeah, when I think of racing games, because I don't really consider like Mario Kart to be racing games, as silly as it sounds.
It's an arcade game with racing.
Yeah. But like, yeah, Cruisin' World always comes to mind for 64. This is fun.
And I really think Beetle Adventure Racing should be considered. Or lauded up to the top spot. It has earned it in my book.
I mean, that should be in esports at this point, you know.
Why don't we have like a classic esports genre?
I'm surprised they don't. How would you?
The closest they have to it is maybe like Super Smash Brothers Melee.
But I mean, with the way stuff is now, like it, you can take a section of whatever you know building you're in, just. Have some 64s there, or SNES even. I don't know. I think that should be a thing. Classic esports.
My favorite thing of looking this up is the music section. This is described as the soundtrack is groovy breakbeat with loud drums, organs, and guitars.
That's accurate. That checks
out. That's it. It's one line. It's the whole section of music for this game. And apparently a sequel was in the making. Adventure Racing 2 was in development, but was never released.
Aw.
See also Beetle Buggin'. Okay.
I'll tell you right now, don't see Beetle Buggin'.
Don't see Beetle Buggin'? Do not also see Beetle Buggin'.
No, do not also see Beetle Buggin'.
Hey man, I'll come over. We can play this. I give it a shot.
I mean, if you want, I could also grab my copy of Superman 64.
No. Hell no. Fuck that.
Man, this is back.
I don't want to kill myself that much.
This is back when they had cheat codes and...
Yeah, you got a Game Shark.
Back in the day, yeah.
I was also just notified that we should, for, as far as racing games go, Biker Mice from Mars.
That's a cartoon show.
There was also a game for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, my Lord.
You never played it?
No.
Oh, man. That one comes courtesy of my wife, Misty. I have two text messages from her saying, talk about Biker Mice from Mars.
Well, similar to like Dust 64, I was a Sega kid growing up, so I did not have...
We'll see. Okay. Same here. I never owned a Super Nintendo. I was gifted my NES from my sister when she moved out of our house when I was a child. And I never had a Super Nintendo or anything like that. And it wasn't until Misty and I started dating that she has a Super Nintendo and still has, for some reason, Biker Mice from Mars. The cartridge. So that's how I played it.
It was
actually a lot of fun. It's stupidly difficult for no reason, but I mean, that's that era in general.
You were going to have to ask your wife about this game and the naming of some of these characters.
What, Biker Mice from Mars?
Yeah, the antagonists.
List them off.
I'll list off a couple. Lawrence Limburger, mm-hmm. Grease Pit,
mm-hmm.
Fred the Mutant,
mm-hmm.
Pit Boss,
and then
my favorite, Dr. Benjamin Boris Zachary Carbuncle.
This is a doctor, though.
Yeah, he didn't go to medical school for 6 years for nothing.
Yeah, and then you got the protagonists like Throttle, Vinny, Rimfire, Harley, Stoker. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, like, well, okay, here's the thing. Most of these names fit the notion of a biker mouse from Mars.
I just remember the cartoon show.
Yeah. It was a cartoon. And then late 80s, early 90s?
I think I remember this cartoon now that I see these pictures.
It was right around the time of Street Sharks,
yes.
I want to say.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jossum. That's how they didn't say it any other way other than that. Jossum.
1993 to 1996. I feel like in Battlegrounds, naming my character Dr. Pete Loomis was a bit early. I missed the window on Dr. Benjamin Boris Zachary Carbuncle.
You may have jumped the James Gunn a little bit there.
I mean, I'm down. I'm down to play all these older games. Oh, yeah, I'll give it a shot.
So, along with there being a missed opportunity for a Beetle Adventure Racing sequel. Maybe it was because... Did Square Enix also own that company that made that game and then suddenly drop them?
It makes a lot of sense going, you know, how they're going right now. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I would wager yes.
Some of the bigger news from the past week was the big company Square Enix, who owns the Hitman franchise, seemingly out of nowhere... dropped the creators of Hitman, IO Interactive, stating it was mainly because of an extraordinary loss of over 4.9 billion yen, which is translated around $43 million. However, that this most recent Hitman game has been really successful.
Yeah.
In my eyes.
I've heard nothing but good things about it.
That, and I know they're like on the YouTubes, there are a lot of content creators who are playing through the various things because IO Interactive is constantly keeping the game updated by doing different missions that you have to take out a certain target or, you know, adding new maps in. And they are getting ready to premiere their ideas for season 2, quote unquote, which is probably going to happen at E3 this year. And now it's not going to happen, seemingly. Yeah.
Well, they're just the good thing for them, at least, is that if like Square is dropping them, they're a developer. Somebody can pick them up, you know.
Somebody can pick them up.
And if the latest Hitman is doing as successful as it has been, somebody, not EA, if you're listening, EA, stay away. Somebody pick them up.
Then it's who? I mean, I'm assuming IO, since they've been doing this the entire time, they would hold the rights to the name and franchise?
From what I understand, they do own the rights to Hitman and the franchise.
Yeah, the rumor is so far, because like I said to you guys today, I was under, you know, a rock this week, apparently, that today's first I've heard of this, and the rumor is that they are retaining the rights to Hitman.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. So yeah, someone could easily swoop in and pick them up, and I think they will, because this, like I said, this last Hitman game has been doing quite well, seemingly. Yeah. And if you're, they, like I said, well, it's a 40, they stated it's because of a $43 million loss, but it really, there was a time several years ago where IO put out both Kane and Lynch games, which were critical failures, more or less. And then they also had a really bad Hitman game, which was Absolution, I want to say, was the really bad one. And then they've tried a couple movies, which have been also been critical failures.
Like most video game movies, they're generally not great.
Yeah, but they're not. I don't think they were Uwe Boll levels of bad, but
no. that is the low point on the scale, for sure.
Go see try to watch the Far Cry movie.
Nope.
You'll know what I'm talking about.
I can't. I refuse.
But yeah, so what could happen, or what would actually be great PR, is during E3 this year, which is coming up it's next month, right? June?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember if it was June or July, but next month, someone just during one of their big press conferences, either for Sony's time or Xbox, Microsoft's time, could just be like, oh yeah, and we're acquiring IO Interactive, and everyone's going to go nuts for that because now they look like a hero.
Yes.
And we get more Hitman.
Well, especially if this season of Hitman, you know, if it's doing as well, you know, as you're saying it is, then yeah, I don't see why.
Well, Japanese business culture in general is very cutthroat and doesn't always make sense, which I'm not going to get too far into because I don't understand it. But, you know, earlier this year, Konami suddenly just saying goodbye to Hideo Kojima and just going straight pachinko.
Yeah.
Don't remind me.
It
hurts.
Hey, man.
That was seemingly out of nowhere and made no sense, but they're still doing well with their pachinko machines. Oh, actually, they're putting out the Metal Gear Solid 5 zombie thing, which I don't know if that's out yet or not, but that looks like hot garbage.
Yeah, I haven't. After they separated, I just stopped kind of paying attention to them. So I'm just waiting for them to hopefully reunite, but I doubt that's going to happen now that he's opening up his own.
No, I doubt.
Oh, no, that's not. They are never getting back together.
And to be fair, coming from a Metal Gear fan, like, I love Metal Gear Solid, but, like, they're weird. They're really weird games, you know? If you follow it as a whole from start to finish, it makes sense, but it gets a little hazy in there.
like most things that last that long.
Yeah, it gets a little hazy.
It seems weird that they'd go a weird, like, they tried to pull like a COD Zombies route where they just like, okay, it's basically what this, or what is it even called? Excuse my typing here. Metal Gear 5 Zombies. What is this called? Metal Gear Survive.
Metal Gear Survive.
And you are four players in the Metal Gear 5 world.
Hard pass.
Basically fighting off waves of zombies.
Hard pass.
Yeah, hard pass.
Well, I mean, like, the thing, though, is that similar to, you know, like, Konami with PT/Silent Hill, their failure on not running with that is, like, was Capcom's game with Resident Evil 7, you know.
Everything works.
You know, and I'm this is, you know, separate going into this, but I was so happy Resident Evil 7 came out how it did, because 6 was terrible. God awful. God awful.
The worst.
And 7 was a change of pace, and it was perfect.
I love that game. I still have to beat it.
I don't know if you beat it or not, but it's really good.
Not yet. I'm probably in the last third or quarter of the game.
Yeah, so my brother-in-law got it. He got a VR, and it came with Resident Evil 7. So he's been too much of a chicken to try it out, and I've seen Jeff and Chris stream it, so I kind of knew some things that were coming up. So I finally, it was like 2 weeks ago, I've been meaning to tell you guys, I was like, yeah, let's go play it. I'll put on the headset. I'll do it. And even knowing that things were coming, like her crawling up the stairs, it's like a visceral fear that, like, when it's right in your face, like, my palms were sweating. Like, I was like,
knees weak, arms.
Yeah, yeah, mom's spaghetti. So I was like, I can hear her. I know she's going to come up the stairs. I know I have to go over there, and I desperately do not want to do that right now.
You can't see me, but you're saying what's happening in the game, and I'm shaking my head because I'm like, no, fuck that, because that shit is so scary.
I did that part. I did that part, and I played even farther with the headset on, like, and it made me so uncomfortable. It was, and I knew what was coming. Like, I could not imagine not knowing what was coming in the game. And playing that way.
I could play it now again and be fine, because I know it's coming. And maybe, of course, VR would be different, you know. But
in VR, with the surround sound, the 360, it's so
no scope.
Like, it's like, yeah, like you sit there going, all right, I've seen this game on the screen. I know what's coming. I've seen it. I've seen the things that are gonna pop up at you. But, like, it's like, I know it's not real, but, like, your brain, like, it gives you so much, like, it actually, it's pretty scary. And I was like, I played it for, like, an hour and a half, and I was like, I took it off. I finally died, and I was like, dude, I'm done. I cannot do this anymore.
Well, it's still even playing, if I went back and played PT, it's still the same thing. Like, I know what's coming. Doesn't matter. I'm still like, nope, this is not.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't feel good right now.
Very similar feel. Very similar feel.
And then, like,
hoping Death Stranding kind of, it's not going to pick up exactly where PT left off, but I hope they take some elements from there.
Well, and I'm hoping also with, you know, with E3 right around the corner, that they really, Resident Evil 7 was one of the games where I'm like, man, I should get VR. It's, holy shit, that'd be so great. But then I'm like, that's the only thing? Because, I mean, I know they have the Batman game, but I've heard such mixed things about it.
That you raise an excellent point there. There's not a lot of games right now other than Resident Evil 7 and maybe the Batman thing. And some of the smaller, like, you know, indie stuff that aren't, like, full-length games. But there's not a lot of good VR stuff out there. And it's seemingly, like, the hype for it is just kind of gone away.
Yeah, I feel like the more we see about it, the more it might get ramped up, because I think when we first saw something on it was just kind of very early.
Well, a lot of the VR games coming out were, like, you know, your indie games and things like that, which look cool in premise. But I think, like, why it's getting so hype is because people want that full immersive feeling, you know, similar to what I think Resident Evil kind of provided. It was, like, the first game to really do that, VR-wise, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was to say, in hoping, you know, you don't know what they're going to, you know, announce at E3. And
exactly. I mean, it's very easy for us to sit here and be like, well, Resident Evil 7 has a VR component if you want that, so why don't more games do this?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, there's a whole litany of things that would probably make it very difficult to publish and produce something like that, but hopefully this year, next month at E3, we'll see some more stuff that maybe will kind of put the spark back in everybody.
Yeah.
And also, hopefully they'll lower the cost of VR stuff.
It will.
At least for PCs.
$500.
The PlayStation 1's reasonable.
As technology and demand and all that keeps increasing, I honestly feel like the very next gen consoles we get are going to be very, very VR centric. And then I think by two gen consoles from now, I think I would almost bet it's going to be mostly VR at that point. It feels like that's the way it's going. They're perfecting it. They're getting better and better. It's going to get to a point where it's like, these are all VR ready, 100% to go, and these are some straight 100% VR games that you can get for it.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's gonna be a pretty exciting few months, you know, for games. Anyway, yeah. You know, I mean, even like E3, of course, but like the bigger companies are having their own showcase. Like Bethesda had their one last year, and we touched on it last time, and it was really good. This year, they have their E3 event. They're calling it Bethesda Land. And it's like a theme park. And I'm like, what?
Really?
What?
Okay. I had not heard that, but now I am intrigued.
If you go, if you look it up, if you look it up, it looks like a theme park map. on what you can experience. And there's rumors based on what they see in the imagery of something about Wolfenstein.
Okay. Yeah, they're due. Yeah.
And there was something else, I can't remember what it is, but I'm excited because old Wolfenstein, you know, the last two, I didn't play Old Blood yet, but the actual game, the New Order, was great.
Old Blood's really good too.
I always enjoy those like premises of like, what if they won, you know?
Yeah, I'd check it out.
It's going to be an exciting few months for sure.
Okay, I think on that note, I'm going to call it here because I have Mother's Day festivities to go to and I still need to get ready.
Yeah, we've all spent our morning doing this. Yeah, I think we're all up to doing our own things here.
So you can get a hold of us if you want us to give us a topic to talk about or tell us how much you like us. You can tweet at our podcast at CGY Podcast. Say hi. Drop a line.
Also, same with Facebook.
We have a Facebook. Like us, share us with your friends. And that's also, you can find us there at CGY Podcast. Or if you really want to, you can get a hold of us individually. And where can we do that at?
Do that on Twitter.
Well, what's your Twitter handle? That's what I'm going for here.
Twitter handle, JustinRhymes42.
My Twitter handle is at Myron.
I mentioned this in the outro of last week. Last week's. And I still don't know how you locked that name down.
I got it when Twitter first came out, I'm pretty sure. And you know what's funny is that once in a while I'll get tweets from somebody in like Mexico or anything, or South America, because somebody famous must be named Myron somewhere down there. It's really strange.
All right. Maybe you could sell it eventually.
That's a dream.
But no, you should definitely keep it. And then you can get a hold of me at thatadamguy9787. And also like last week, I'm going to take us out on a shower thought.
Okay.
From our shower thoughts.
Yes.
Have we as a species just universally agreed that Snoop Dogg can hit a blunt whenever and wherever he wants?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. And you'll hear from us again in a couple weeks, probably.
Definitely.
Amen.
All right.
See ya.
Take it easy.
Bye.